too much time on my hands with you in my head. Trouble is a one more fireball when I'm already lit in its last call. Trouble is nothing good ever happens after 2 a.m. Stumble out of that red door, hop into a cab. Feeling a little bit crazy, feeling like I wanna be fed. Ain't going home till I drink a few more sins off of my lips. If you're looking for me, I'm gonna see, I'm gonna be where trouble is.
There. Howdy, y'all. Welcome to Nashville Unplugged.
Yeehaw!
The officially unofficial podcast for ABC's Nashville. I'm Mara.
And I'm James.
We're here with you again. Thanks again for tuning in. This is season 2, episode 3, entitled, I Don't Want to Talk About It Now.
I don't want to talk about it now.
I don't want to talk about it now.
But we're going to talk about it right now.
Yeah, psych, we are going to talk about it right now. General thoughts, feelings about the episode, James?
Another great episode. I'm never disappointed with this show. Little bit of drama at the end of the episode that we'll get to.
We'll get into that. A little bit of a shocker.
And, I've got some stuff I want to ask you about, just in general. Some stuff that I'm starting to think about as far as general themes of the show. And characters that have changed from last season. So we'll get into that.
Okay, all right. Well, let's just start it off with the recap.
Yeah. So we open up, first scene, Deacon wakes up screaming in bed. He's in pain because of his hand. Scarlett comes into his room, asks him what's the matter, asks if she can help in any way. Deacon's sort of upset, asks for his Gibson guitar and starts trying to play it. And Scarlett says, is this your form of physical therapy? And, you know, the kind of pain you're in right now, it's not right. And Deacon says, well, either one of two things are going to happen. Either the pain's going to go away or I'm going to learn how to deal with it. Then we cut to Teddy and Raina with their lawyers, and they're signing off on the divorce. So the divorce is final.
Yeah, let's go back a little bit, though. I just want to point out. I think this is the first time in the scene with Deacon and Scarlett. I think this is the first time we've ever seen her hair up.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, it's a little thing, but she looks incredibly different.
Yeah, well, and she looks very different later in the episode, too. Which we'll get to. So
the divorce. Is this the most amiable divorce in history? Like,
possibly.
They seem so, like, steady-handed.
Yeah.
No big drama here.
I know we give Teddy a hard time, but he is a good dad, I guess.
Yeah, he's a good dad, but,
you know, but it is...
We'll discuss his life choices later.
Yeah, he doesn't make the best life choices. So they're divorced. It's official.
Oh, and I thought Raina in this scene, I thought she still looks really fragile.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my other question is, where is Teddy living? Did he buy a new house?
I guess
that's something we probably won't really get into, but Raina definitely got the house in that divorce.
Yeah, yeah. So we don't know where Teddy's living. It's amiable. Raina says, you're a good father and you're a good man. Then we cut to outside of Edge Hill. The lobby of Edge Hill Records, Juliet's waiting for a meeting with Jeff, and Layla runs into Juliet, and of course she's so happy to see Juliet. She's so honored, and she's, you know, basically kissing her butt and saying how nervous she was to sing her song at that Jeff's party last week.
Juliet's like, well, it's pretty easy when you're singing someone else's hits. Yeah, kind of like karaoke.
Yeah, which was a great, great little jab. And Glenn's like, was that necessary? Which is, Glenn often reacts that way to Juliet. Then we cut inside to the Jeff's office at Edge Hill. Juliet's meeting with her. And Jeff is trying to make amends, apologizing for the rough start that they've gotten off to. You know, basically saying how important Juliet is to Edge Hill. And Juliet's
just because,
like,
he needs her to perform at this stockholders. Yeah. Party. That's the only reason he's treating her like this.
Yeah, and Juliet's like, well, I can't. And we find out that the reason she first we think that she's just being combative, but it turns out that she has a prior engagement. She is performing for Charles and Olivia Wentworth. And are they
Wentworth?
Are they Australian?
No, what? I think he's British.
British.
She's definitely American.
Yeah. And they're these really rich people that live in Maryland. And the Wentworths apparently own all these radio stations, TV stations, magazines.
Newspapers.
So Juliet's been asked to perform at this party because it's her birthday?
No, it's
their anniversary.
5th year anniversary. And, yeah. And Juliet is Olivia's favorite singer.
Yeah. So she can't, you know, back out of that because they're very important. So then we cut.
And of course, Jeff has to say yes, she shouldn't cancel on them. And Juliet grabs his hand and says, "I'll send you some crabs."
Yeah.
Gross. I mean, I love crabs, are delicious, but I bet Jeff has had crabs once or twice in his life.
And maybe Juliet, too. I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
So then we cut to Glenn and Raina back at Raina's house, and they're talking about her leaving Edgehill for wanting to take Highway 65 Records and do it on her own, not with Edgehill. It's going to be tricky. And then that sort of leads to them talking about the album, which is unfinished because of Liam, who hasn't been mentioned yet this year. Liam's the producer who started to make Raina's new album. And they talk about that, and Raina says, "Well, I think he's still mad about St. Lucia." Which, side note, Mara and I are married, for those of you guys who don't know. And
I think we mentioned this in our first episode. I think we mentioned that, yeah, and that we actually honeymooned in St. Lucia.
Yeah, and it's lovely, and Raina should have gone.
Yeah,
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Especially
where they were going to stay on Sugar Beach.
Oh, yeah. Sugar Beach is beautiful.
If you have the chance, we highly recommend it.
Yeah. It's where Matt Damon got married.
Renewed his vows.
Yeah. Side note. So, so we find out that Liam is sort of upset about Raina not going to St. Lucia. And then Glenn is like, "Well, it'll be good to get back in the studio at least." And Bucky. And Raina's kind of quiet about this. And then Scarlett shows up, and Raina tells Scarlett about the stockholders showcase.
Yeah, and I don't know if anyone picked up on this. It was super quick. When Scarlett comes in before she sits down, she has like some sort of garter on her, like, right below her knees, like, two of them.
Mm-hmm. What do you think that symbolizes?
I don't know that it symbolizes anything. I'm just very confused about that costume choice. It looked really odd.
Yeah.
I was glad they kept it in medium close-ups the rest of that scene.
Yeah, and Scarlett seems pretty nervous, and Raina is talking about, well, she's going to get a stylist, and we'll get new clothes for this big event. And then we cut to Gunner back at his place with Will. Gunner is working on a song he's apparently been working on for a long time. Will interrupts him and says, "That song is great. You know, I've heard it so many times. I know it." And Will
immediately said he's going to steal it. He's going to try and perform it.
Yeah. And so Will also, we find out, is also going to be performing at the stockholders.
No, we don't find that out yet.
Well, he gets a call, right?
He gets a call that he needs to go meet with a stylist for the party.
Yeah. And he goes, "Ooh, I'm going to get a new style." And so then we cut to
Gunner says, "About time."
Yeah. Then we cut to Juliet and Avery with the band, and they're at Maryland at the house of Olivia and Charles. And we meet Olivia and Charles, and Olivia is described as Juliet's biggest fan, and Olivia describes Charles as the greatest husband ever.
Olivia is so thin.
Yeah, very thin.
I was very worried about her. She's too thin.
Yeah. And then we cut to Liam and Raina at a coffee shop. And Liam says, "You know, St. Lucia was beautiful. You should have come." And Raina says, "Well, you know, in hindsight, I really should have." And she asks Liam, you know, says, I want to finish our record. You know, you brought out all this great music in me. And basically, you know, can't we just make it about the music and what happened in the past is in the past. And Liam just sort of very curtly and abruptly says, well, I'm booked, and kind of walks out on her. And then, yeah, and that's all before the first commercial break.
Yeah. So then we come back from commercial. Raina is talking, or Raina sees Bucky coming in and says that, you know, she's like, Liam's still mad at me. And he's like, that's funny. Guess who I just ran into? Liam. So we see Liam. Liam comes in. He says that he's an excellent producer. He's bringing her the hard copies of the songs that they made. And Bucky excuses himself. And then Liam makes Raina sincerely apologize to him for the wrong that she did. And, you know, she does. Then we cut to Peggy.
Peggy.
Peggy. Peggy offers, or Teddy's coming in, and she offers to show Teddy all the doctor's statement she has, and obviously we know that she's not pregnant, and Teddy doesn't, and so it just gives me the most icky feeling.
Yeah, and she must know that Teddy is so gullible and trusting, because what was she going to show him if...
I'm sure she's doctored some kind of medical something. Teddy gives her money. And I wrote, what a phony, gross. Oh, yeah, and then she makes a big deal about how she feels so excited and happy that she's pregnant with their child, and she really thinks it's a boy, and she's going to name it Theodore.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And what's crazy to me, too, is that I feel like she really believes that she's still pregnant. Like she's that kind of crazy almost.
No, when you're a good liar, you believe the lie.
Yeah, I mean... It's pretty nuts.
Then we go to Will. He's getting styled with Brent, the boy. Yeah, we're going to see that later. not this episode, but later in the season. That's when he learns that he's going to get to... He gets a performance slot on top of getting to go to the party. He's also going to perform. And they bump into Scarlett and Nora coming in for Scarlett. Session of going to try on clothes, and Scarlett leaves to go do that. Then we cut to Juliet and Avery. They're at the mansion. Charles asks if he can join in on some of the songs. I guess he plays guitar, and he's holding a 52. What kind of guitar?
Gibson.
No, it wasn't a Gibson.
I thought it was a Gibson.
I think it's a Les Paul.
I'm going to have to verify that.
Anyways, 52 guitar that was once owned by Hank Williams Sr. himself.
Yeah.
And Avery kind of goes crazy about that. And he asked Avery to tune it. Then we cut to Scarlett looking at all the different outfits that they want her. And she's kind of overwhelmed. And she's like, this isn't really who I am. And the stylist says that's kind of the point. You're not supposed to be who you are anymore. And she's like, I bet Raina would really like to see you in this real glittery sequency number. And you could just see Scarlett's like, oh no, because this is not who she is at all. And she makes a comment about how the dress costs more than she makes in a month. And the stylist says, well, I guess if you play your cards right, that won't be the case anymore, will it? And James thinks that Scarlett is going to be really taken into this world. Let's talk about it.
Okay, the only reason why I say that is because later, which we'll get to this when they're at the party, or at the showcase, there was a moment when she got swept away and she was standing in front of the paparazzi, and it really felt like she was kind of digging it. Like, she was kind of really digging it. And then also when she sang the song, I felt like we saw this, like, sort of sultry side of her that we've never really seen before. And
but
I feel like...
sultry doesn't mean that she's, like, getting caught up and she's not becoming Juliet.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying... I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying...
She doesn't even, like, drink that much.
It could maybe happen. Or they could try to make...
I don't know how corrupted she's going to get. I mean, yeah. She's still living with Deacon.
Yeah, and...
I guess that could be a storyline.
And I guess if Highway 65 is totally...
Reyna's trying to protect her,
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
You might be right. Who knows? Then we cut to Will. He says that to go with his new style, he needs a new girl on his arm to take to the party. Nora says that she's already going with Scarlett. And so he says, well, I guess I'll have to bring Gunner as my date. But how about we all share a limo together? And Nora says she likes the sound of that. Then we cut to Jeff having lunch with Reyna. And she tells him that she's going to finish up her album with Liam. And he gets really excited about that. And then he says that, you know, he's having a stockholder party and he wants her to perform at it. And she says she can't perform any of her new stuff because it's not ready to be put out yet. And he's like, well, then sing one of your old hits. But I just want you to sing. That keeps... We should have counted how many times someone said the word sing to Reyna during this episode.
Yeah. And also in that scene, you know, obviously Jeff is a sleazebag and a snake. But Reyna's like, wasn't Juliet performing? And Jeff's like, no, I decided against that. Even though we just know that that's a total lie.
They do a really good job on the show of making us not like the people we're not supposed to like.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we go to Coleman. He finds Deacon at an AA meeting. This is the first time we've seen Coleman this season.
Yeah, yeah.
And Coleman tells Deacon that he's moving, that he got a job offer to take him out of Nashville, and he's taking it. And he tells him that he needs, in order to deal with Maddie being his daughter, he needs to face what happened to him with his father, and then Deacon explodes and throws a chair. Then we go to the next commercial break.
Yeah, so then we come back from commercial, and Gunner and Will, and Will is trying to figure out what to play at this showcase, and he asks Gunner, can I try that new song you were working on earlier? And Gunner is, like, very skeptical. And Will basically says, you know, you're getting in your own way. And part of it is Gunner's never even performed it himself. And I think Gunner kind of resents a little bit this success that Will and is experiencing. And you know, Will is like, you're getting in your own way.
Yeah, I feel like maybe Gunner was jealous, like, I guess jealous throughout this episode, but also...
doubting himself.
No, I don't think he's doubting himself. It was like and it's not exactly jealous, he's kicking himself. Because if he hadn't, you know, I know his brother died and then he kind of, you know, went out and went crazy and that's why he missed the audition with Scarlett for Reyna, but if he had just gone to the audition.
Yeah.
I mean, she tried everything to get him to go to the audition. If he had, he would be up on stage with Scarlett. They would be the hit. They would be singing these songs. You know, he would be a part of this. And Will would also, like, they'd all be a part of it.
Yeah.
Instead of now he's kind of on the outside.
Yeah, he's like the odd man out.
It's not really jealousy. I think it's remorse, I guess.
Yeah.
He's very remorseful and longing. Every look we see from him, so longing.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, it's a very, it's interesting from being from Nashville, the way the music industry works there, because Nashville is very much a, you have your singer-songwriters, and they write the songs for the big stars. And, I mean, there are people who do both, but I think he's worried about getting sucked into the, I'm only a singer-songwriter who writes, you know, hits for guys like Will. And those people make money and they're successful, but they're not the big stars, which I think Gunner, you know, wants to be. So then we cut to Scarlett and Nora. And Nora's telling Scarlett that she said yes to sharing a limo with her and Will and Gunner. And Scarlett's like, well, that'll be like a double date, except Gunner and I aren't really dating anymore, so that's going to be awkward. And then Scarlett gets a phone call, and it's from Reyna, and all we hear Scarlett say is, yeah, I can keep a secret. Then we cut back to Juliet and Maryland, and they're going over the set list, and they break the band, and Avery is like, well, you seem really excited about this. I guess it's not all about the money, and, you know, maybe you're still romantic. And, you know, Juliet's like, well, I'm getting paid $1 million. And then she also says, well, I'm also glad to be doing something that that the head of my record label doesn't want me to do. And Avery warns her. He says, defiance is a drug. And then we have Charles, who says, you know, can I play on the song Trouble Is? Because that's Olivia's biggest favorite song.
Yeah.
And then he asks, you know, Juliet if Avery is her boyfriend.
No, he says, your boyfriend's got a crush on my guitar.
Yeah, your boyfriend has a crush on my guitar. And Juliet's like, oh, he's not my boyfriend. He's just on the payroll. And
oh,
Avery overhears
Excuse
this.
Excuse me. He says, your boyfriend has a crush on my guitar.
Yeah. and yes, so Juliet's like, oh, he's not my boyfriend. He's just on the payroll. And Avery overhears this. And then we cut to Teddy and Deacon. And Deacon is at Teddy's office. And Teddy's like, if you're here to try to make some claim over Maddie, it's not going to happen. And Deacon's like, no, I'm here to tell you that you're her father. You've done a much better job than I ever could have. I wish she had never found out that I'm her father. And, you know, I'm not going to get in the way of this. And Teddy is being a jerk.
Oh, my gosh. He's such a jerk off. I cannot even believe how awful he's being to Deacon. I mean, ugh. I just Just pile on the I can't stand Teddy bandwagon.
Yeah, and so he's like, well, if you're trying to make an amends from your 12-step program, that's not that easy. You have a responsibility. Every choice you make, Maddie's going to be aware of and be watching you. And, you know,
yeah, so
I did what men did. He says something like that.
No, he says, no, Deacon says, is like getting up to leave, and he's like, I really appreciate what you did back then. A lesser man wouldn't have done as much. And Deacon said, or Teddy says to Deacon, a lesser man did.
Yeah, I mean, it's like salt in the wound here.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Liam and Raina, and they're listening to the demos and the masters, and basically Liam is saying, oh, it's great, but we need to re-record some vocals on a couple of the tracks. And,
on one track.
Yeah, and Raina's like, eh, well, also the guitar and drum, like, real nitpicky thing. And
Liam's like, no, the only thing that needs to be done is we need to re-record this one song.
And so that's when Raina confides in Liam that she can't sing, or that her voice doesn't sound the same since the accident. You know, she had a tube down her throat when she was in the coma. And,
that's after the...
No, I have that down as this part. Well, maybe.
No,
but
not.
This isn't
that's
when they get
break.
Together, right? That's later, right?
She says that she can't sing. It cuts to commercial. We come back.
Okay.
Raina tells him that, yeah, her vocal cords aren't the same because she had a plastic tube down her throat, but she's working with a vocal therapist, and she's gonna have to rethink this Edge Hill exit strategy that she has. And then they start making out.
Yeah.
Then we cut to Deacon. Asks Coleman if he really is leaving. Coleman says, yeah, I'm really out of here. And Deacon says, thank you. And he says, thank you for telling me what I gotta face. I can't run away from it. You know, I've gotta stay sober for Maddie. And then we go to Raina and Liam post-coital. It was just a quick little thing. I guess Liam says, like, what are we gonna do? And she's like, I don't know, we gotta delay this record. And Liam says he'll like bolster his reputation as a nitpicky producer.
A hard to work with.
To work with producer, something like that. Then we cut to Will and Gunner picking up Nora and Scarlett, and Gunner's, like, super blown away by how Scarlett looks. Scarlett is, like, sex to the nines.
Yeah.
She's wearing push-up everything, real tall, clunky stilettos. I mean,
red lipstick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's done. Then we cut to. Sorry.
Oh, and then
Juliet brings. Yeah. Oh, so then we cut to Juliet performing at the anniversary party, and she brings Charles up to the stage to play "Trouble Is," and then we get to hear the song "Trouble Is," which was the song that we opened the podcast with. Well, mm-hmm. it'll be that was the intro. It'll also be the outro. Pretty good upbeat song. Lyrics like "Trouble is the guy with the guitar," and then she points over to Charles. And "Trouble is you don't even know what his name is." "Trouble is stumbling out of a bar at 2 a.m., getting to a cab, feeling kind of crazy, feeling kind of bad."
Yeah, and that's where you're going to find me, where trouble is.
Yeah. Which, hello.
Yeah.
This is, like, the most foreshadowing song I think we've ever had.
Yeah.
Then, and during that song, Avery, she goes over to kind of dance with Avery, and he just gives her this look like, no thanks. And she's kind of off-put by that. And then we go to Scarlett. Scarlett perform. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow, did I skip? No. No. Scarlett performs.
Well, no. We it goes to commercial after.
Right. Yeah.
So we switch back and forth on who takes notes on this. So
sorry, we're a little bit disorganized.
So yeah. So after the Juliet sings, we cut to commercial, and then we cut back, and now we're at the shareholders concert, and Will, Gunner, Scarlett, and Nora all walk in, and immediately Scarlett and Will are whisked away and are in front of the paparazzi getting their pictures taken. We see Liam and Raina come in, and they're talking to Jeff, and Jeff's like, "When's that album coming out?" And Liam's like, "Oh, genius can't be rushed." And the best line of the night is here, which I'll let is during this little interaction.
Oh,
when
just, I'm gonna make my night.
Yeah.
Jeff makes a big deal to Raina about how he can't wait to hear her sing. He says, sing again, sing.
Yeah, you're gonna make my.
I can't wait till you make my night. And then he walks away, and Liam goes, "Thought you were gonna make my night." And Raina goes, "I already made your afternoon."
Such a great line.
And delivered perfectly by. The impenetrable Connie Britton.
Yeah. and then, so then we cut to Deacon, and he's with the doctor, and she basically says that she can still help him with his hand. We're pretty much not, you know, we're pretty sure that he's not going to take any pills or anything.
No, I think he's looking to get some physical
therapy. So that's a real short scene. Then we cut to Will, and he's getting ready to perform, and he comes out and he says, this next song I'm going to sing is written by the best songwriter in Nashville, Gunner Scott. And we see Gunner, and he's kind of like, he doesn't really know how he feels about this. And the song is called "What If I Was Willing" or something like that. But we see like several shots of different girls, Nora looking at him. We see Layla backstage looking at him. So all the girls like Will, which is unfortunate for all the girls.
Yeah, I mean, I like Will. I think he's an okay singer, but man, he's no Gunner.
Yeah. He just has, you know, it's the confidence. He has that gusto.
Yeah.
And so then, so he plays that song. Then we cut to Juliet and Avery after the concert, and they're sort of packing up. And Avery's mad at her and tells her that he overheard her saying that he's just a guy on the payroll. And she's like, "You're way too sensitive." And he's like, "Don't put this on me. You know, you don't trust anyone enough to be your friend, and you choose to be this way." And then she's like, "Well, if this is how you feel, then you're fired."
No, she says, "She's like, stop talking or you're fired."
Yeah, and he's like, "Well, that just proves it," and walks away. So he's not fired, but...
And he didn't quit.
Yeah, but But they have that little interaction. And then we cut back to the shareholders' party. Jeff introduces Raina, thinking that she's about to sing a song. And instead, Raina says, Highway 65 Records.
Can't wait to get you guys involved with that. And some, yeah. I was so excited about this performer that I made her my first person I signed on my label. And she brings Scarlett up on stage.
Yeah, and Scarlett performs, and it's great. We don't get to hear that whole song.
No, but, we come back from commercial, and she's performing, and you see Gunner looking longingly at her. I think the name of the song is Waiting on a Heart, or Waiting on a Broken Heart.
Yeah.
And she's real sexily performing the song. I mean, not anywhere near Juliet slutty.
Yeah.
She's just being sultry. But then we cut to Deacon. He's telling just this heart-wrenching story at AA about his father. Where his father, his father was a drunk. And this one night he was at home eating dinner. And he didn't like what the dinner was. So he broke his mom's nose, and he has an older sister who, you know, stepped in to get him to stop beating on their mom, and his dad pulled his belt off and started, you know, beating his sister with the belt, and his mom is like, they're all screaming, and his mom's like, is this what you want your son to see? And he turned to Deacon and he said, look at me. This is what you're going to be when you grow up. Or when you become a man, you're going to be just like me.
Yeah.
That's what he says. And Deacon's like, and here I am, a drunk, just like him. But I've never hurt a child. And damned if I ever will. I really hope that that's not some kind of awful foreshadowing for him that he's going to hurt Maddie.
Because
I would die if that's the case. Please don't let that happen. Yeah. And
I didn't even think about that, but I can't, I mean.
And then we see the Colemans there, but oh man, that was such a hard story. Then we cut to Will. He's praising Gunner. He's like, this is Gunner, the best songwriter. And Gunner's praising Scarlett on what a great performance she did. And Scarlett says, well, that was a really great song. And Gunner's like, well, it was really just Will. And it kind of seems like he's a little bit jealous. And she gets pulled away again by Brent. She's like, gotta go meet all these different people. And then we have a really quick, no like dialogue scene where we just see Juliet drinking champagne, looking at Charles and Olivia, kissing and being in love, and she's not really jealous. She's just, I think, she, like Gunner, is remorseful for her actions. And then we cut to Teddy, tells Peggy that he wants to be there for her, and she's like, "Well, what does that mean?" And I mean, we once had something, and then they start kissing, and God, gross. I don't want this to happen so bad. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a hell of a reveal.
Oh, yeah.
A hell of a reveal.
Well, and it kind of, like, my thing with Teddy, although the scene with Deacon, he was awful to Deacon, but I'm starting to feel less like he's a horrible person and more just like, God, like,
how dumb are you?
Yeah, like, you're making dumb choices here. Like, you don't even ask, like, this is a woman that you know has, like, mental problems and has had issues, and you don't even, like, question.
She tried to kill herself.
Yeah, you don't even question,
episode.
Like.
I mean, I know she says that she didn't mean to. She wasn't trying to do that. Oh, yeah, she was.
Yeah.
She wasn't trying to actually kill herself, but she definitely was trying to get attention.
Yeah, and he doesn't even, like, question or ask anything. He's just like, I mean, I think he's upset and lonely, you know, but still, it's like, come on, man, like.
Ugh, Teddy, dum-dum-da-dum-dum-dum.
And he's the mayor of Nashville.
Oh, don't remind us.
As bad as Bill Boner, though. That's a Nashville reference.
All right. For all you Nashville Nashvilleianites.
Yeah, Nashvillians.
Nashvillians?
Yeah, that's what cool. we...
Then we cut to Gunnar and Nora. They're both not having fun. Their dates are not paying any attention to them. And so Gunnar says, you want to get the hell out of here? Going with my prediction.
Yeah.
But it's only a matter of time before Gunnar and Nora hook up.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we cut to Raina talking to Liam, and Jeff comes up and is like, can I talk to my performer?
Yeah. My artist.
Or my artist. And then Liam's like, it's okay with her. And she's like, I'll catch up with you. And then Jeff proceeds to chew her a new one because she embarrassed him in front of his stockholders. How dare you, Raina? And he says, you know, he's like, oh, this is all about Will? I don't think so. If I was a suspicious man, I think there's something more to it. And guess what? Turns out, I am a suspicious man. Even his dialogue... is just makes him sound so stupid. I mean, like, I can't. I mean, I'm sure he's gonna find out. I don't know what kind of repercussions this is gonna have. I don't know how she's gonna break her label away and have it not be under Edgehill. I don't know any of this stuff. I mean, I guess we have to stay tuned to find that out, but I don't know. And then the last scene is Juliet runs into Charles while she's trying to find a bathroom. And she's, you know, a bit tipsy. And he says, sorry, you know, if my playing was bad. And she says, no, you're actually not that bad of a guitar player. I've heard a lot worse. And he's like, well, really? Rate me. And she goes, I give you a 6. But 10 for how great a husband you are. And that's when he leans in and kisses her.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you doing? You're married. And he goes, well, you have a boyfriend. She's like, I don't have a boyfriend. I don't even have a friend anymore. I'm just unavailable. And blah, blah, blah. Poor me, Juliet. And he's like, I'm the most unavailable. I'm the most unavailable person in the world. Let me look at you. And you look at me. And then let's make out. And let's have an affair. And who knows? Maybe we'll start next week's episode with my wife seeing us. I mean, Juliet. Seriously?
Yeah. And that was it. That was the episode. And I have to say, because talking about Juliet and her action there at the end.
I did not say this. Okay. I know what you're going to say.
Okay, so episode one of our podcast, when we were making predictions, Mara made a prediction that she thought we were going to see a more mature Juliet.
I did not say mature.
And that she was going to be more focused on her career, which she always
is. She is really focused on her career.
She's always been focused on her career.
No, but she's all business.
But... this is a dumb, dumb thing for
what
her to
do. What, you think?
Because not only...
Wow,
you know,
circle gets the square, ding, ding, ding.
You know, but it's also who he is. Not just because you're... I mean, it's awful to sleep with someone who's
No, that's
married,
why it's so awful.
Because
he owns, like, he's a media conglomerate.
Yeah, so if his wife finds out, this could really hurt her career. And it's like, yeah, anyways. So, that was the big
but
sort of...
But she'll rebuild her career when she moves to Raina's label.
Highway 65, yeah.
When Raina leaves that chill.
Yeah. This is our long-term prediction. So, yeah, so that was the episode. And what do you think? Like, predictions now, what are you thinking?
I don't really know. I mean, obviously we got a lot of reveals. Well, we got... Teddy's got to find out about Peggy. I'm sure Scarlett and Nora... Gunnar and Nora are going to get together, and Scarlett's going to find that out. I don't think this Will being gay thing will come up for a while.
Yeah, I think they're going to hold off on that.
That might be a season finale kind of thing. I'm just wondering what the big... ABC does, like, a big mid-season finale with all their dramas. So I'm wondering what the mid-season finale... I mean, we're only 3 episodes in. We got a while to go before the mid-season finale. And that usually happens like right before Christmas. But I'm wondering what that's going to be with the big thing. And you know what? We don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure that we can't even guess.
Yeah. I don't know if the voice thing is going to be an issue. I think she's going to be able... I think she's going to dodge
that reveal.
I think she's going to dodge it for a while. And then my prediction is she's going to keep dodging this... he's going to eventually put her in some sort of situation where she has to sing, and then she's going to, like, knock it out of the park.
You think?
Yeah, because it's gonna, it's gonna be built up as, like, this, oh my god, she's not gonna have it, and then she's gonna have it, and that's gonna
or
be...
Or she's gonna make a miraculous switch to rap. She's gonna start freestyling. Yeah. Shock the entire country music scene. Freestyling Raina.
So I had a couple of questions for you. They're not really like prediction questions, but I guess one was, what do you think about Avery's character so far this season? I feel like he's been really kind of muted. And
muted? What do you mean by muted?
Well, like, last year, you know, he started out and he was such a jerk, and then, you know, we had the whole plot line with him being, you know, taken under by the producer, and then the guy changing his sound, then he burned his masters, and then he was, like, sort of blacklisted in Nashville for a while, and he had to become a roadie. And now this, and then, you know, we sort of had this idea that maybe he was, trying to get Scarlett back, sort of, but now it's just kind of like he's with Juliet trying to be her friend, and his whole thing is he's kind of like this humble, nice guy who's trying to be Juliet's friend, and he's kind of hurt that, like, it's just, I don't know, it's just an interesting switch to me from last season, because he was such a big, I mean, he had his own
thing.
Well,
yeah, definitely has a big switch, and, I mean, I don't know that he's been
he's more likable, definitely.
Yeah, I think he's a good counterpart for Juliet. I think maybe next episode she's going to do this really stupid thing, and then she's going to go and apologize to him.
Yeah.
She's going to, I mean, hopefully not use him, but I think she'll go and she'll try and make amends with him and be like, yeah, you really are my friend, and you're right, I do make really bad choices. And maybe this awful choice she made won't come back to bite her right now. Might come back to buy her later. What if there's security cameras around?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Somebody could have taken a picture. We don't know who. But something dramatic's got to happen because of that choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we haven't seen Lamar in a few episodes since the first one. Mm-hmm. So that whole thing has not really been addressed
at all.
The
investigation of him. Yeah.
And then
we didn't see Tandy this episode either.
We didn't see Tandy, and
we didn't see the girls this episode.
And yeah, we didn't see either of the girls. And then Coleman leaving, that's the big news. And he was, so I bet you we may not ever see him.
Tandy was supposed to be watching the girls, and he was over at Peggy's.
Oh,
who's
yeah.
watching the girls?
That's a good point.
Bad dad.
Yeah.
He is dad to the bone. Oh man. Anyways, well, I think that about wraps it up for us here at Nashville Unplugged. You can follow me at Mara Ruth on Twitter.
And you can follow me at SpeedRich77 on Twitter.
We also have a Facebook page. You can search for us on Facebook at Nashville Unplugged. Please like us. We'd love to be liked. Please leave comments there, any questions you might have that we can read online. You can also send us feedback, any questions, any concerns, any suggestions you have for us, to unpluggednashville@gmail.com. You can also find our podcast on our Tumblr page as well, which is nashvilleunplugged.tumblr.com.
Yes.
And
you covered it.
I think that's all.
And you can search for us on iTunes.
Oh, yes, please. Good
catch, right?
Good catch. Yes, please download us on iTunes. Please subscribe. Please leave us reviews, hopefully 5-star reviews. The more we get of those, the quicker we'll get to getting on New and Noteworthy, which really helps us out, you know, reach out to even more people who might watch the show. And, you know, another great way of helping us out is to recommend us to a friend. You got a friend that likes to watch Nashville, maybe wants to listen to a little, you know, short, it's not too long, try to keep it under an hour here, podcast about the show. Send them our way, and we'd love to have them aboard. And thank you all for everyone who's liked us so far, everyone who's downloaded us so far. We really appreciate it. And like we said, any comments, feedback, anything you got, we'd love to have it. We don't have any feedback to read online or on air this week, but hopefully we'll have some next week. And yeah, that's all we have. So thank you all for tuning in, and bye, y'all.
Bye-bye. Trouble is, I don't even have to know his name. Trouble is, a rebound now when it's looking like it's gonna be a cat fight. Trouble is, ain't no girl gonna stand in my way.
Trouble is